Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Kuf Chulin 100. And today's Daf Yomi, we begin with the Mishnah on Kuf Amabez, the Mishnah on 100b. And our Mishnah is discussing the details of the laws of eating a Gid HaNasha. And our Mishnah explains there is a dispute whether or not this Mishnah, that this prohibition of eating the sciatic nerve applies only to a kosher animal or also applies to a non-kosher animal. Meaning to say, by a non-kosher animal, if one eats the Gid HaNasha, would they be in violation of two prohibitions? So says our Mishnah that this prohibition of Gid HaNasha is noeg b'tahora. It only applies, according to the rabbis, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, it only applies to a kosher animal, ve'eino noheg b'tmei, and it does not apply to a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, af b'tmei, that the prohibition of Gid HaNasha also applies to a non-kosher animal. So Rabbi Yehuda explains his words. Says Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo mi b'nei Yaakov neser Gid HaNasha, that the prohibition of Gid HaNasha goes back all the way to the children of Jacob. So we see from here, the adayim behemah tmeya muteras lahen, and at that point when they were prohibited to eat the Gid HaNasha, they were at that point even actually allowed to eat a non-kosher animal, because the regular non-kosher animal only became prohibited to them from Sinai. And so if that's the case, we see that the prohibition of Gid HaNasha is more stringent than in general the prohibition of eating a non-kosher animal. And for this reason, we have a concept of Isur, the Chal Isur, that one prohibition is able to be added to another prohibition if the second prohibition is actually more severe, more stringent than the first prohibition. And so therefore, we could say that the prohibition of Gid HaNasha can be added to a non-kosher animal's prohibition. And so we have two prohibitions, and we don't say, therefore, the principle of Ein Isur Chal Isur, that one prohibition cannot fall on another prohibition, because in this case, there are two separate stringencies, and the second one is going to be more severe than the first one. The sages pushed off Rabbi Yehuda's argument. Said the sages, no, the Gid HaNasha was not commanded to the children of Jacob back at that point. It really was commanded at Sinai. Amrlo b'Sinai namar. It was commanded not in the time period of the children of Jacob, but it was commanded at Sinai. El shenichtav b'mkomo. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this incident, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it placed it during the time of Jacob and his children in order to teach us the reason for it. But the only time that they were commanded was not. When Jacob's generation, to the children of Jacob, but actually at Sinai. And the Rambam actually in his commentary on the Mishnah explains that nevertheless, he says this a little bit differently. The Rambam says even those commandments which were commanded to our forefathers, nevertheless, we're only obligated to do them not because of the commandment that they were given, but because of the commandment that was repeated at Sinai. So there's two ways to understand it. Either we're saying that it was actually not commanded at all to the children of Jacob, or it was commanded, but the only reason why we have to do it is because it was repeated at Sinai. The Gemara explains the position of Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that afogav the iser tuma kadim, even though that there is going to be the prohibition of a non-kosher animal which comes before the prohibition of the Gid HaNasha, nevertheless, asi iser gid chayola, the prohibition of Gid HaNasha is able to apply on top of that prohibition, because shekin iseru noheg b'bnei noach, because the reason is it has another severe quality, that the prohibition of a non-kosher animal doesn't apply to the children of Noach, but to the children of Noach are also commanded in this prohibition of a Gid HaNasha, because the prohibition was given also to that time before Sinai, and so therefore this prohibition applies even at that point. And the Gemara says, how do we know that that's Rabbi Yehuda's position? Deka nami dekatani amar Rabbi Yehuda v'halo mi b'nei Yaakov nasar Gid HaNasha v'adayim behema tmei mutaros lahem. And we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this prohibition of the Gid HaNasha goes all the way back to the Bnei Yaakov, to the children of Jacob, and even though the non-kosher animal is permitted to them. And so we see from here that this Gid HaNasha is a prohibition according to Rabbi Yehuda, and also applies to Bnei Noach, even though a non-kosher animal doesn't apply to them as a prohibition. And that's why he says that we don't say that this concept of Ein Isur Chal Isur, but we say it does apply. The commentaries are infer from the fact, why does it say that the prohibition of Gid HaNasha was commanded to the children of Jacob? Why doesn't it say it was commanded to Jacob himself? And so the Minchas Yitzchak and the Shlah first says that we see from here that actually the Jacob himself was not prohibited in the Gid Anush. It was just his children that were prohibited. And there's a very spiritual concept. There's a very spiritual reason why this is the concept that Jacob wasn't commanded in this. So the Shaw writes that because we see in the pasuk it says that Jacob, when he was wrestling with the angel saw kiro yuchalo. He was not able to defeat him. Vayaga bekaf yurecho. He touched the kaf yurecho. And we see from here, what is the kaf yurecho? The offspring of his loins, that when he saw he couldn't defeat Jacob, he touched his offsprings. And the concept here is that when the Satan wants to convince us to sin, how does he get us to sin? If he can't get us through the struggle, because there was a struggle that Yaakov was struggling with this angel and their dust was flying up to heaven. If he can't defeat him with the hard things, he comes after us with the easy things. And from the easy things, it becomes harder and harder and harder. And so that's why the angel was able to defeat Jacob by first going after the B'nai Yaakov or the Kaf Yurecho, and only then afterwards it becomes harder and harder. Another reason why specifically, says the Minchas Yitzchak, that this prohibition came specifically to the Gid Anasha is because the Gid Anasha is a concept that this teaches us the laws that we don't understand. Because our sages say, what does it mean, V'tageru v'nei Yisrael? It says at Sinai, tell to the children of Israel, teach them the things that are difficult like a Gid. Dvar makoshem kegidin. And the commentaries say that this refers to the Chukim, those laws that we don't understand. Because we have a concept, which we've already discussed, which technically means that the gid can't give off a taste into the food, but as a homily, we say that the gid and the tam, they don't have a reason for them. And so the Satan tries to attack us and come after us with reasons that don't, they say, why are you doing these commandments? They don't make sense. And so that's how he tries to get us. So we say, aim begidim and no tam, teaches us, yeah, that we accept upon ourselves this concept, this mitzvah of the gid anasha, even though we don't always fully really understand the reasoning for it. That's why it was a commandment on B'nai Yaakov.